Good morning, I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The Liberty Theater in downtown Astoria, Oregon, is a beacon. It is an iconic building, facility, so many things we can say about the Liberty Theater for the Columbia Pacific region, and there's a lot going on at the Liberty. What is happening at the Liberty? That's the subject of today's program. And today in the studio, I have Executive Director of the Liberty Theater, Rosemary Baker Monahan. Hi, Rose.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
And we also have in the studio Betty Smith. She is the President of the Board of Directors of the Liberty Theater. Hi, Betty.
Hi, good morning.
And so before we talk about the Liberty Theater, let's talk a little bit about Rosemary Baker Monahan. Tell us about yourself, please.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know how to. I'm the executive director of the Liberty Theater.
For nine years,
coming this November, I started on the Liberty Theater Board of Directors in 2000, and that was a time when I was mayor of Seaside. They invited me to come on the board, and I was on the Liberty Board of Directors from 2000 to 2005, and then in 2005 I shifted over into executive director. I can't believe it's been 9 years.
So you live here on the coast and are at the Liberty almost every day.
I pretty much, according to my husband, live at the theater.
Okay. But you're not one of the ghosts.
No, still living. Thank you very much.
Okay, all right. But you have a good relationship with the ghosts.
Yes, she does.
They don't scare me, and that's all I ask.
Oh, good. Excellent. All right. We can all get along in harmonious ways. Yeah. And Betty, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am a resident of Gearhart, full-time for 17 years. It was my vacation home prior to that when I lived in the Portland area and the Seattle area. When I moved here, I was not currently employed. And then about 2002, I applied at the Daily Historian for a sales consultant job. And now almost 10 years later, almost 12 years later, I am now the advertising director for the Daily Historian, the Seaside Signal, the Cannon Beach Gazette, the Coast River Business Journal, and the Chinook Observer. I like to just say our coastal family papers. And I had my first experience at the Liberty at the grand opening of the Astoria Music Festival. And that was still when the Liberty was not completely restored. I remember very clearly sitting in those chairs that weren't terribly comfortable with still all kinds of paint color swatches on the wall as they were trying to decide. And I had no expectation. And the music started, and I still tell this day where I had to grab my friend's hand because there was a lump and a tears coming to me because the music in that space was so incredibly fabulous. And I fell in love with what the Liberty was. And through that passion, I have joined the board and then continued on now to be the president. And it's just one of those things that I'm so proud to have part of my life.
The Liberty Theater opened. Well, let's just talk a little bit about the history. For those listeners who may not be familiar, let's just give them a little timeline on the Liberty Theater.
The building came up for sale in the early 1990s, I think 92, and there was a
It opened in 19...
That far back,
right? No, just brief. We're not going back to, it was built and opened in...
No, it was built after the fire in 1922, and it opened on April 4th of 1925.
Okay.
And it was a vaudeville house, Class A vaudeville house. Then as Talking Pictures came in, it became a movie palace. And then gradually it kind of changed as society changed. And by the early 1990s, it was a triplex, a dreadful, dreadful triplex. But luckily, when they built those big plywood boxes on the balcony, they extended about 12 feet over the balcony. So you would sit in each one of those boxes and watch a movie. And then the whole proscenium arch had been covered with plywood. And so that's how they got three movies in there.
But the bones of the theater, the structure, the architectural integrity was there.
They covered it up. They didn't chop it out. Okay. So we were very fortunate.
So it fell into kind of disrepair.
And
it was really kind of, I guess, shabby, we'd say.
A little scary. From what I understand, you had to take a sleeping bag because the furnace didn't work. And it had been raining inside for quite a number of years. And there were little critters. All of that has been changed.
Oh, my gosh. It is so gorgeous now. All right. So in 1990, the building came up for sale. Friends of the Liberty through a variety of
A community group of volunteers led by Steve Forrester acquired the building. There was a local partnership that actually purchased it and held it, so it didn't
Robert
get
Jacob,
sold off.
Right? I know. Robert Jacob got
involved. And Rosemary Pavlov and her partners.
Yes.
And they held it, and then the city urban renewal money came in to help us acquire the building. And then the fundraising started, $9 million of fundraising and renovation over the next, until 2005.
All right.
And then we had our grand reopening.
So the grand reopening, the Liberty Theater itself with the gorgeous chandelier, the murals. I mean, it is like going to an incredible Viennese opera house. It is just stunning structure.
It is, absolutely.
If you have not been into the Liberty Theater, you must go there. And Rosemary's going to tell you about a fabulous opportunity you can do on the internet too in a little bit.
Right. Well, we just completed a 720-degree virtual tour. We filmed it. It's embedded on our website now. So you can click on that on our website, liberty-theater.org, and you can take a tour of the facility. You can tour the theater, the lobbies, the McTavish Room, and the Paulson Pavilion.
Right. And a virtual tour is fabulous. You can do that right from your home in your pajamas. However, going there to an event is really, there's nothing like being there in person.
That's right.
So in 2005, grand reopening, and you had restored the McTavish Room upstairs where you have weddings, small concerts, lectures, and then, of course, the Liberty Theater itself with the
665
seats.
10 wheelchairs, 30 standing room.
Okay. All right. You got all the details.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the McTavish Room was created. There wasn't such a room attached to the theater previous to that. It was office space. So you couldn't actually get to that area from the theater originally. They had to come up from the street.
The theater was really, it's most of that block, isn't it?
It's the entire block.
The entire block. Okay. Yeah. So now let's talk a little bit about, before we talk about all the exciting concerts and events and art a la carte coming up, because there are so many great things to look forward to. The actual renovation, restoration of the theater finished in 2005. You opened it. And then what happened? Because now you've just completed something else.
Well, we opened for business. We needed to get a revenue stream going and start in. I mean, it's what I say to people all the time. As a community, we have the keys to a theater. We should have a little fun. So we started having a little fun. Brought in some shows, and then to build what I call the daytime business, we started renting it out for weddings and conferences and high school proms and birthday parties and you name it. We've had it at the Liberty Theater. Everything except nobody's had a baby, and don't take that as a challenge, but we've done everything else. Yeah. No babies. Thank you very much.
Yes, it's a beautiful space to have any kind of ceremony.
Right. It is lovely. The acoustics are like a cathedral. So when you're sitting in the seats, any place in the room, the walls are singing. Sergei, who's the celloist that comes back every year with the music festival, when he performs on his cello and he sets the cello down on the wooden stage, the entire room becomes part of his cello. So you're just surrounded and part of the music. There isn't any other way to explain how beautiful it is in there when there's music.
And I think we also talk about the fact that there are only like 660 seats, the intimacy is like a European concert hall. Right. So when you say like a Venetian concert hall, that's what it has. It's like a European feeling, and the sound is unlike any. I've gone to the Organ Symphony at the Schnitzer, and that's another beautiful, iconic building. And I was so prepared for the sound to just wrap around me. Right. And I have to admit, I was so disappointed because in comparison to what you experience at the Liberty, it was so lacking. Mm-hmm. There's just that intimacy with the music that you feel at the Liberty.
And think about it. In February, we're bringing in Don McLean and Judy Collins. The very back row in the balcony is 80 feet from Don McLean and Judy Collins. Mm-hmm. That's the first row in the Rose Garden. I mean, it is... Performers tell me from stage they feel like they're performing in a living room.
Let's talk, though, about what you've just done, because we're talking about the building, and then the second half of the program we'll be talking about Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks, the Highwaymen, Art a la Carte, these wonderful events that are coming up, which are listed, I'm sure, on the Liberty website.
Yes.
But so you just finished doing something called the Paulson Pavilion. What is that?
We actually finished a 5,000-square-foot renovation from where the elevator is on the street side where you go into the McTavish Room all the way down 12th Street and around down Duane Street on the second floor. So what we have now in that space is the Paulson Pavilion, which can be divided into three separate rooms. So it can be used as studios, it can be used as classrooms, it can be used as small meeting rooms. We currently have the Astoria School of Ballet using it for dance classes 4 nights a week. And then as you come around the corner, we have some two second floor commercial lease spaces, one for the Astoria School of Ballet, one for an author, Jane Elliott Townsend, and then my office is upstairs. We also have two restrooms, each with a changing area in the back for use as we're using those areas as studios. We have a new catering kitchen, and we have a little business event office that we can use for conference check-in. We can put a rolling bar in there to service events, or we can have a staff.
I think a lot of people, maybe, Betty, don't realize how many uses the Liberty has. It's not just for a musical or theatrical performance.
Correct.
The now with the Paulson Pavilion being open, there are, again, you have these spaces which can be used for everything, from conferences to, you know, classes, as you said, seminars, workshops, whatever. And you mentioned how important it is to you that the Liberty is an economic engine for this area.
Absolutely. Recently, Rose had two key events, one for the Oregon Main Street Program and another for Oregon Energy Trust. Is that correct?
Wave Energy.
And they brought over close to 200 people in one event that all stayed at the hotels. They all spilled out into the restaurants, went to shopping if they had time, and experienced what we have to offer here on the Columbia Pacific, not just necessarily in Astoria. And that happened with another event, and that Paulson Pavilion has now, I think, just energized that space, because they can use the main theater for actually their presentation. They can break up into the McTavish Room and have their lunch, and then they can go back into the Paulson Pavilion and either break out into three separate or into one. And it's all central. It's all within walking distance, and it falls into that Conferences Without Walls, which has been really kind of a focus of the area, and it's working. That Paulson Pavilion really became, I think, that final component to just give that energy to the whole entire space.
And the neat part of it is, for example, the Oregon Main Street, while the Liberty was the central hub for that conference, they had receptions at the Maritime Museum, they had a luncheon over at the Event Center, they toured around at all of the historic preservation activities that were going on, they went shopping, they ate in all the restaurants, they stayed in the hotels. And as a community, we together did it right. Everyone was professional. Everyone worked together, and we presented the community to the world, basically, as a really good place to come have your conference.
And it's not just that it's finished now. Suddenly, we've raised the money, we've renovated the Liberty, and now there it is, this beautiful building. What you've talked about is that she's like a lady that requires constant care.
An expensive lady.
A beautiful, expensive, older lady, mm-hmm. and she requires care. So it's the ongoing upkeep of this beautiful right. building, and then supporting the arts, all the right. things that go on in, mm-hmm. you know, with that.
Right. Yeah, we're supporting a building. We need to maintain it. We need to keep it as our little community treasure, because it really, that's what it is. We have to heat it. We have to clean it. It's expensive. I think we did an assessment. It takes about 6 hours to bring the heat temperature up, because we don't keep it up high. We keep it moderate when there's nobody in there, to bring it up to be comfortable for an audience, and then we open the front doors. And I think we did an assessment. $200 worth of heat goes out the front doors when we open them for people to come in. But, yeah, it's an expensive building with a number of restrooms and a lot of people coming in. So, you know, every time it rains, the wind blows, we find a new way that water can come in. Anyone with a building from 1925 will understand that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it is ongoing. And so we're going to talk about right. the way in which you in which the theater can be supported. And certainly one of those ways is to go to Art a la Carte, is to go to fundraisers, is to buy a ticket and go to an event there. Because
Please.
When you do that, you're supporting Liberty.
Right.
You also aren't really finished. You have more ideas. It's not suddenly that now you're going to rest on your laurels and say, well, we've created the Paulson Pavilion, and now we have the McTavish Room and the Liberty. You have other plans for the future for the Liberty.
Right. The remaining piece in the theater complex itself is the stuff backstage. And we've kind of saved that for last because we're learning how we can use this building over the last 9 years. And now we have a sense of it. We've brought in touring shows, off-Broadway shows over the years. We've brought in orchestras. We've brought in dance companies. And now we have a sense of how the stage operates and what we need. Quick change areas, for example, near the stage, because people go off and change costumes. Now you have to run upstairs into the green room or just change clothes in the hallway, which is more excitement than any of us want. And so, and we need a place to put the 9-foot piano, that sort of thing. We need some real dressing rooms and a business office. That's probably that piece next door is 10 years down the road before we take a look at that, because we've currently leased that space out to North Coast Distillers on a 10-year agreement. But the stuff backstage, the rigging, you know, to be able to bring in a performance that's similar to Cirque du Soleil, but of course much less scaled down, we have to be able to fly performers. We, you know, that sort of thing. We need a new curtain. All of that's in our near future.
Okay, that's good. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we're talking about the Liberty Theater, which is in downtown Astoria, but belongs to everyone, not only in the Columbia Pacific region, but people really from all over the world. This area is rich in history and legacy, and the Liberty anchors our downtown very beautifully. I have in the studio the executive director of the Liberty Theater, Rosemary Baker Monahan, and also Betty Smith. She's the president of the board of directors. We've been talking about the history of the Liberty, the uses of the Liberty, and now we want to talk a little bit about some of the events that are coming up and ways in which we can be involved with the Liberty and support it. So what do you want to talk about first, Rose?
Oh, my goodness. Tomorrow night, we have Reader's Theater in the McTavish Room. It's a play called Sight Unseen. It's Wednesday night and Thursday night, and it's just wonderful. Four performers, local artists who are going to be in that. It's directed by Senan Kavo. Saturday, we have The Highwaymen, which is a tribute group that is part of the Liberty Theater Presents Season 7.
You have a series of people can join. They can become members. I mean, how do people do that? You have a series of concerts and events that go throughout, like it's what, 9 months in
September
advance?
To May is September usually May. When we run our season. Uh-huh. This year we started with Everything Fits on September 28th, and we're going to finish in mid-May with the Portland Chamber Orchestra.
And people can still buy season tickets because you have a box office that's open Tuesday through Saturday from 2 to 5.
Yeah, they can't buy the full season because we've had one show.
Sure.
But we have
they
design
buy
your own packages, so you
oh,
can
good.
Get a package of 3, 4, or 5 shows that you can still do and get some pretty good deals.
Okay.
And when is Don McLean and Judy Collins coming back?
They're coming, well, the Highwaymen is Saturday, and then let me kind of walk you through in chronological. They're in February.
Chronological.
It's a short answer.
Okay. All right.
February
okay.
22nd.
Okay.
Then we have Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks on November 9th, and that's the same day as Art a la Carte, so we'll talk a little bit more mm-hmm. about that. We have Legend of the Christmas Rose we're doing for the second time. It's a Swedish folktale, and each year we're kind of building it. So last year it was a reader's theater. This year it'll be acted. We've also received a commission from Clatsop County Cultural Coalition to create a dance set to music to add to this performance. So the commission was awarded to the Astoria School Ballet, and we're going to premiere that at this year's show. Then we have Mike Strickland for our holiday Christmassy carol. A jazz show with Greta Matassa and Clipper Anderson is the bassist. A really, really fun holiday show. Then Don McLean and Judy Collins are coming in on February 22nd. And then we have Body Vox in March. And we have the Portland Chamber Orchestra in May. And I'm forgetting something.
Carla.
And Carla Bonoff, thank you. Jimmy Webb is also in May. Yeah, it's
that's
fabulous
a
series.
Great lineup.
Yeah,
what a wonderful
it is.
Series.
It really is.
This year is kind of a tribute to American singer-songwriters.
So okay.
Kind of, and Jimmy Webb actually wrote the title song for The Highwaymen, which I think is really interesting.
And people can get their tickets online. But really, I like to go to the box office and visit with Tom. Because
to
I like
totally.
To talk to Tom.
Absolutely.
Pick out my seats and all that.
He'll fuss over you really nice.
Yeah. He'll fuss over you, and you can look
yeah.
at it, and you can ask him all your questions.
Right.
And he's so patient, and he does such a wonderful job.
But you
job.
Can do it by phone. You can do it from your home, and you can go to the box office. But now something that we really need to focus on is art a la carte. What is art a la carte?
Art a la carte. This will be our second annual event. If you were here last year on November 10th, we did the inaugural event at the Maritime Train Depot. We were the first ones to have an event before that space was fully renovated. Probably add a little bit of stress to Sam Johnson's life, but when it all came about, it was an incredible event with wonderful energy. Jill Graham at that time was the co-chair with me. This is an event that came about really actually through a dear friend of mine who lives in Minneapolis, and there is a iconic historical building called the Soap Factory. And what they have done is really dedicated that building to supporting emerging artists. And in visiting with her, and any of you who live here, you know how many fundraising events we have and that we could attend. I was really looking for something unique for the Liberty that really could kind of open up to a wider audience and really make it be something that was a little not on a Friday evening or a Saturday evening, but that really kind of fit into everyone's very busy lifestyle. So we created it the Art a la Carte to be on a Saturday. The event's from 2 to 4:30, as it was last year. We have the Acoustica, which obviously was the perfect band last year if you came, and they're coming back again this year. We have Chris Holen from Baked Alaska that will be providing the food, and he's got a wonderful creative idea and some surprises for you this year. Fort George very generously is introducing their beer. It may even be their new holiday invention that they will be presenting. And then we will have art for $99, all one size, signed on the back. So you don't know who the artist is, but you buy the art because you love it. And if you're really a knowledgeable person about art, you may recognize it, but for the most part, you won't know. And we are so fortunate that this art community is so generous, and they're asked for so many things, but they just have come out and just given us some amazing pieces of art. And I mentioned some of the artist names that participated last year, and they are again this year, and it's Noel Thomas and Eric Weigard, and we have Darren Orange and Jen Lowry and Marie Powell and Penny Treat and Neil Main and Bethany Rose and Vicky Baker. Rowland. I mean, I could just go on, hopefully Lulu Quinn.
Yes. Lulu's working on her piece.
And I've seen Eric's piece this year, and it's going to be hard to tell that it's his. It's a little different style. And that's the beauty of putting your signature on the back, is that if you're known for a certain style, you can actually even experiment a little bit. It's a beautiful piece.
Well, and each piece is an original, and it's a one of a kind. And that concept is really fun. And I like to share the story where, obviously, because I was a chair last year, I was not able to buy the art. I had to wait till everyone was at the end. And I kept circling this one piece of art, and I kept circling it. And finally, I just thought, I'm going to buy it. So you go, when you come, you go over, you pick out your pieces of art, and you can buy more than one. And many people did. It was a great Christmas gift. Who knew?
I bought a piece I absolutely adore. Actually, I bought three pieces last year.
And some people did.
Because it's so fun because you don't know who did the art.
Right.
And I saw actually a family come, and this little girl, she was probably 12, and her grandmother said, "Sweetheart, what would you like for your room? You get to pick out a piece." And she picked out a piece, and the little girl was thrilled, and she learned about, not only are you're buying something that is a local artist or, regional artist, you're buying something beautiful to bring home to your in your environment, and you're supporting Liberty Theater, and you're having a fabulous time because Acoustica was wonderful, the music was great, and it's 2:30. It's like in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon, just a quick easy thing to pop in.
Yeah. Two to 4:30, and then it's also the art walk, the second Saturday art walk, and then you come back and do Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks. I mean, it's a great day.
So you could even go to lunch ahead of Art a la Carte, or you could go to dinner in between Art a la Carte and Dan Hicks. I mean, you could just make a day of it in downtown Astoria.
I think that's the real gathering, the community gathering, is just to say, okay, on Saturday, November 9th,
Right.
We are going to have lunch, and then we're going to go to Art a la Carte, which is now at the Liberty this year.
This year. It'll we'll come in the front doors, but it'll be in the McTavish Room in the Paulson Pavilion. They'll be setting up for the concert, so you'll get to maybe peek at that as you're walking through.
Okay, great. So yeah. You can have a whole – you can have the afternoon, and then you can do the art walk downtown, and then go to the fabulous concert, Dan Hicks on Netflix. Well, I mean – really, does one need to leave this region for you know, arts and culture? I'm truly, it's here.
And thank you so much, KMUN Radio, for sponsoring the Dan Hicks concert. It's wonderful.
Yes, and see, we're all connected. It's all one thing.
That's wonderful.
So we only have a few moments left. What would you like the listening audience to know that we haven't talked about the Liberty Theater? Obviously, ways to support it. Come to Art a la Carte. You will have an incredible time, and you will come home with a great piece of art. And go to the concerts. It's just like when we talk to Classic Community College. How do you support it? Take a class.
Right.
That helps them. And it helps you. It enriches your life.
We're still accepting art donations until November 4th, even though the event's on the 9th. So if you have a piece you'd like, as an artist, would like to donate, we would love it.
What are the specifications?
8 by 10,
unframed. You can mat it if you need to. If it is a chalk, which I understand you do, we are saying yes if you need that clear framing on it because you have to protect the art. But you sign the back, and we'd like a bio on the back so they with your website where your other art is located. So if someone finds a piece, they know where to come find more. And often people came back and wanted to find you so you could sign the front because that meant a lot to people. And we also offer 2 complimentary tickets to the season for the Liberty for artists who donate. So if you're wanting to come to Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks or to the Highway and Soon, you need to.
2 tickets to any performance in the season with the exception of the Judy Collins.
And you can drop your art off at the same place you buy your tickets.
At the box office?
Yes.
Right. That's right. Yes. I was getting tickets from Tom a couple weeks ago and an artist came in and dropped off their artwork. So,
But absolutely, come to a show, become a member, all of those are ways. If you would like to volunteer, we have an active list of folks
usher.
There's a lot of ways to participate at the Liberty Theater.
What's the best way for people to do that, to find out more information? Let's give them the website and the phone number.
The website is liberty-theater.org, and it's a little hyphen in between, and theater is spelled E-R, so liberty-theater.org. It's 503-325-5922. The box office is extension 55. My office is extension 33. So.
And again, I'm excited. I haven't seen the virtual tour on the website, but I want to look at that.
I haven't done it on an iPad, but I understand it. If you put it on your iPad and then you move your iPad like you're turning in the room, the image will change. So you can look at the ceiling, look at the floor, 720 degrees.
Again, though, there's nothing like being there.
Absolutely.
Just being in that
space.
It's almost a sacred space. I mean,
I agree.
Because
it
is so many incredible things have happened in that place.
Yeah.
And they continue to. And so, you know, onward with all of the projects that the Liberty's doing. Thank you so much, Rose, for being
here.
Any last thing you want to say?
No, thank you so much for having us on your show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Betty.
Pleasure.
Well, I'm looking forward to Art a la Carte. Lulu Quinn, finish your... and also, again, the Liberty belongs to everyone.
It does.
And it is not... And there are so many events which are actually free to... And I mean, it just... It's across the spectrum. So it's a treasure that we all enjoy. Thank you so much for everything you're doing. And thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire. I appreciate all that you do. And a shout out to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brun for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself. Today, take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on those things. There will always be things which don't work, which are challenges, which are problems for us. However, there are also many wonderful things that do work. And so focus on those things. Expand on that with gratitude and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment. The only moment that exists, the present moment, on this amazing planet we call Earth.